There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
A number of people have been texting in their thoughts, their solutions, but also some explanations as well. We were talked earlier on today about BMI, which basically is used very often by those in the business for examples of where your BMI should be and where your weight should be, etc. Somebody texted in about Dan Carter. I wrongly said that Dan Carter is plying his trade over in France at the moment. Thankfully, he is somebody is more up to turn up to tune. He is in fact over in Japan at the moment with the Kobe Steelers. So thank you for that, by the way. Meanwhile, Kartik has been in touch saying if BMI is the standard, then most athletes that are 6 feet tall and more, a pure muscle of 200 pounds, would be overweight. No? Indeed, that seems to be one of the concerns for many out there. Keep thoughts coming in on that one. With regards to BMI, a number of people have been sending their thoughts as well. It seems those three letters have prompted something of a response. Got this one here from Janet, who's been in touch with us this morning, saying originally intended for use in research, the BMI is in fact a tool to compare individuals' weights within a population to quantify underweight, desirable weight and overweight. It is therefore inaccurate as an assessment for individuals. Especially on the upper and lower margin, it fails to account for percent muscle versus fat, for instance. So a muscularly dense individual will score overweight or obese, while in reality they are lean and appear thin. Another person could score as healthy when they have a high percent body fat. BMI has been adopted by assessors such as insurance companies in order to provide a statistically easy way to state if someone is within a desirable weight range. In reality, it's got nothing at all to do with whether or not someone's weight is healthy. The person who invented it stressed this at the very beginning. So that's your BMI 101. Jeremy Kevin with us here in studio. Other thoughts coming through?
Well, again, it's more on the BMI. So a pound of fat takes up a much larger volume on the body than a pound of muscle, even though it weighs the same. It's becoming quite scientifically complicated now for me.
Losing me at the same
time.
Thank
you, Mark.
Yes. Appreciate that one, Mark. We've also been asking you for your suggestions as to how you lost your weight, because as we know, it is something of a growing concern the world over. Or is it just a concern because our attention is being drawn to it by the weight loss industry? This one from Derek this morning saying, I've lost 80 pounds since March this year. There's no magic pill here, guys. Literally, all you need to do is to reduce how much you eat and drink. Calories in, calories out. You don't even need to reduce it by that much. A standard diet for a guy, as you said earlier, 1,800, maybe 2,000 calories, is loads of food. We as society just don't know what a portion is anymore. Derek goes on to say, you don't even need to exercise to lose weight. Anyone trying to tell you otherwise is trying to sell you something. You should exercise, though, as it is a great as it is great for good health and well-being. But in any diet, the vast majority of your weight loss, I'd say around 80%, will come from diet. Use exercise to augment your efforts, not spearhead them. It's obviously worked for Derek. He's lost 80 pounds since March of this year. And I suppose that's the thing. That's the message that is coming across. It's finding the thing that works for you and isn't going to impact, like Dan was saying a little earlier on, Joe Wicks worked for him because he was able to leave a fairly normal life, or normal in his understanding. He was able to balance work and life with his exercise and food regime, as opposed to, you know, there are those who are able to go to the gym every night for 2-3 hours and pump weights. And if that's what floats your boat, that's what floats your boat. But not all of us can do that.
No, and I mean, that's what really I thought when Dan was telling us about the Joe Wicks diet. And thanks for calling in, because it was really interesting. You're obviously doing really well on it. But to be exercising for an hour and a half a day, I think would be really hard to maintain. So at what point do you then kind of find the right balance with it, really? It's tricky. I'd like to know the answer to that. And I'd also like to know, if anyone out there can help me on this one, why is it easier for some people than it is for others?
It's like metabolism, isn't it?
Well, no.
It's like your DNA.
Just not fair.
It's your
some
genetics.
Some people eat really healthily and they're just naturally larger. They exercise, they eat well, Unless there's something secret going on at midnight.
Is that down to the individual wanting to feel better about themselves, or is it to do with image? And how much does body image and body beautiful play on our psyche and our mental well-being as well? Despite the popular association that plastic surgery is for women, more and more men are turning to plastic surgery in the hope of becoming happier with their lives. Liposuction for men is just one of a number of procedures that's becoming more common, especially in metropolitan areas. Is that the same here in the UAE? We will find out now, because it is my pleasure to welcome to the show plastic surgeon based at the King's College Hospital London in the UAE. Dr. Adnan Tahir joins us live on the line. Good morning to you, Dr. Adnan.
Hello, how are you?
Very well indeed. Are we seeing a rising trend in the number of men looking for plastic surgery and procedures?
Indeed, I couldn't agree with you more. In Dubai particularly, there's an increasing trend overall in UAE, I have to say. Since I purely practice aesthetics with a little bit of reconstruction, I have seen a rising trend in men who pretty much fall in two categories. Men who undergo massive weight loss procedures and suddenly lose a lot of weight and seek plastic surgery in order to improve their appearance, i.e. the lose of the baggy skin that results from it. And then there's the other group who are kind of unique in a sense, because they want high definition work. They are very, very conscious about their body image, and they generally want to look good at the beach.
There are those out there that were listening in saying we shouldn't be turning to aesthetic or plastic surgery to create the body beautiful. It should come from within, and we should eat properly and exercise properly, etc. That said, with the help of modern surgery and surgery techniques as they are at the moment, does surgery, whether it be aesthetic or plastic, can that have a positive impact on the mind, the mental fitness of an individual, and therefore prompt them to lose more weight and live a healthier lifestyle?
I think yes, there's elements of what you just said is absolutely true. Plastic or aesthetic surgery, it just gives a little bit of a kickstart. It does provide a boost to the self-esteem to the individual, improves confidence levels, and then it just kind of makes them rethink about how they can, or gives them a sort of a push towards having a healthy lifestyle, having a little bit of exercise every day, quitting or even trying to avoid unhealthy habits like smoking or drinking too much alcohol, and focusing and watching what they eat. I think these are very essential elements which we should have, especially not just men overall in middle age, which could help us maintain kind of a good body and feel good about ourselves.
Seen a rising number of men taking liposuction procedures over in the United States. Interested to know, not sure if you have statistics at hand, but are you seeing a rising trend of men taking advantage of that technology here as well?
I think of all the liposuction procedures I do in the UAE, I would say about 30 to 40% are men, actually. And so it's certainly not uncommon. And the first thing I say to patients is, look, liposuction is not a weight loss operation. So I always spend time educating patients about things that they should do or should consider to improve their health, whether it's with watching what they eat or having a bit of exercise included in their day-to-day routine, and generally looking after themselves. And there are then men generally who come and say, look, you know, we've tried everything. We've tried exercise. We've tried different diet regimes and generally helps. But then there are stubborn areas which we can't get rid of, the fat especially. In those cases, I think plastic and aesthetic surgery, i.e. liposuction, can be very, very useful.
Interesting that you use there that word education. I'm wondering whether how much of your role, Dr. Adnan, is that counselling role as well? When patients come to you, are they looking for a one-stop shop, a one-thing-fits-all, one-stop solution to their problems? Is it part and parcel of your role to educate them that this is part of the solution moving forward?
Absolutely. I think you'll be surprised to hear from someone like me that about 30 to 40% of patients that come to see me, I practically say no to them. and end up educating them about their issues and lifestyle issues and weight and so on. So yes, education is a key role of anyone who comes to see me for a consultation, and surgery, if anything, is a last resort. I discuss it at the very end. Most of the things are, boil down to a lot of patients are naive generally, and they think plastic surgery is a solution to all of their problems. And that's where I step in and kind of clarify things for them. So yes, education is I would say up there, the most important role I play during a consultation process.
You mentioned you are the voice of reason. You are our voice of reason this morning as well, because I am being drowned in the research at the moment. You know, I've got articles in front of me about the miracle diet pill that's just come onto the market. We've been talking about bullet coffees this morning and how people have been losing 7 stone as a result of drinking that coffee of a morning. There are those talking about exercise, those talking about diet. Is there one rule that fits all? How do you put a medical take on weight loss?
I think weight loss, I mean, it's important to keep things simple. And a lot of the things that are advertised and, magic pill and do this diet and that thing, they generally are, marketing gimmicks, in my opinion. I think keeping things simple and watching what you eat, having a little bit of exercise included in your day, I think a simple thing like 20 minutes of fast walking every evening would do the job. Avoiding things like smoking and drinking, heavy drinking, all of these things I think are far more important than any magic pill or any magic diet would achieve. So that would be my message today to all your listeners, is to keep things simple, focus on what you eat, and include 15 to 20 minutes of light exercise every day in your routine. And that would do far more than any high-end specific diet that you see on the Instagram. And I agree with you, it's flooded. There's so many of them that I could spend all day talking about them.
That's a really nice place to leave it, and a voice of reason there. Dr. Adnan, really nice of you to join us this morning. I know you're a busy man. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir, and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you to the cheeky so-and-so who's just texted. Tom, share with the listeners what you've done. Surely there's a bit of nip and tuck and a few other bits and pieces there. No, we're not going down that road. Also from Nicholas says, does anyone want to get started with cycling? Join us with Cycle Safe Dubai on Fridays or Wednesday night for Revolution Nights at Dubai Autodrome. That's from Nicholas. Thank you for that. Maggie's been in touch with us as well this morning, Joe, on this topic of health and the way that we are embracing a healthier lifestyle these days.
Indeed. Just over a year ago, they watched What the Health on Netflix. Have you seen What the Health?
No.
It's quite life-changing. And it is a documentary about moving to a plant-based diet, which Maggie and her husband both did. And between them, they've lost 16 kilos. The health benefit is the main reason they changed to a plant-based diet. So they cheat a bit, apparently, but on the whole, they've done really well. It's quite a shocking documentary, I must say. Friends of mine turned vegan for about a week after seeing it.
We will have a little look at that over the weekend. If you've seen it and you'd like to make a comment, then do so.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.